Okay, hi. I'm Evan Greer, and we are the Hunter S. Thompson Memorial Marching Band and Singing Society. And we've only ever practiced once.
And we weren't all there.
So, in more ways than one. So this is going to be a little interesting.
Soccer Girl Incorporated, April 1st, 2006.
It's a very wonderful thing that some of you might think that I'm sexy. If you do, it makes me so flattered that you do, and it makes me really happy. And I sincerely hope that what I'm about to say doesn't ruin the sexy for you forever. But I feel like it's my responsibility to relate to you what just happened. I just coughed, like so. And a piece of phlegm came hurtling out from my lungs and hit my MXL microphone. And now it's in between the little grid, metal grid pieces of the microphone, and I can't get it out. And I'm disgusted with myself, is the gist. What do I do, guys? Do I wait for it to dry, and then will it come out? Like, you know, you do with mud, you can just brush it off, or is there some sort of solution for phlegm specifically that I should use?
Well, anyway, what I would like to ask you, you smoke.
Whoa, who told you that?
Do you require the employees of Pot Show to take a drug and alcohol test?
Dude, if I did that, we'd have no Pod Show. Be more than happy to highlight a best of, but you know, someone's gonna have to do the work, and I think that will be significant work, but yeah, are you kidding me? That would be freaking awesome to do that.
I want peace on earth and goodwill toward men.
Right on.
We are the United States government. We don't do that sort of thing.
Had a conversation with my dentist this morning about smoking the holy herb. Because she said, you know, I thought you didn't smoke tobacco. I said, no. Who said anything about smoking tobacco? She said, okay. So we had a pretty interesting conversation about it. And she was pretty much on my side of the fence, which I liked very much.
So, hello. Good evening, podcasters and iPodders. This is DJ Microbrew coming at you live from Connecticut, somewhere in the EEUU, with podcast number 27 of FSCK, the corporate media. Happy May Day, labor. I have a rare treat for you. I'm going to voice in some of my zine from last week, which you can get at www.etext.org. Just search for, just search the Gutenberg Project Online Book Initiative for the following zine by keyword activist times zine. So we're up to issue number 470 of that. You ready? Okay, Darfur, I found your picture on one of the websites. Can we talk to each other? I might be coming to your place in a few weeks. This would be a great opportunity to meet each other. By the way, I am a woman. I am 25. Drop me a line at vtagra@flowmaxprope3cia.biz. Clever, clever, clever. All right, column. Our national anthem. Bush puts his foot in it again. get this one. Some guy in Britain has crafted a heartfelt Spanish lyrics version of the EEUU national anthem. Now Baby Bush is moaning out that it must be only sung in English. Well, let's never forget that the music to this anthem was ripped from an Irish drinking song about what a freaking slut the Queen was that year. And I won't touch the fact that while campaigning in Milwaukee, Chicago, and a few other places, Bush himself sang the national anthem in his best rendition of Spanish, you know, the Español. I've been searching for those lyrics for more than a decade now. This makes me want to find these lyrics even more about the Queen being a drunkard and a slut. Yeah, that would be fun. Okay, Bush is such a dork. If we're so proud of what those lyrics stand for, why not translate them into every single language known to humankind? It could be like Reader's Digest or Christian Science pamphlets or something. Yeah, more languages the better, I always say. Of course, I don't feel like I have something to lose if people around me make themselves smarter today than they were yesterday. I guess I don't share that security with Mr. W. Bush, do I? And in other music news, America the Beautiful. flag.blacken.net/ATI/OPM/AmericaTheBeautiful.RM. And let's impeach the president. flag.blacken.net/ATI/OPM/LET'SIMPECHTHEPRESIDENT.RM. Make ASCII. Hey, you got a pen? Write down these URLs. mono-project.com/mainpage. mono-project.com/main_PAIG. www.juancole.com. www.stillfree.com. www.marco.org. op-critical.com. www.thepentagon.com/podcasting. Oh, and last number, something surreal, shrinkster.com/EMA. Echo Mama Alpha. Shrinkster has reduced the length of your original URL from 25 characters to just 25 characters. Your Shrinkster URL will never expire, and you may use it as often as you like. Your Shrinkster URL is not case sensitive. A windowless building called the Tomb at 64 High Street, New Haven. That's all for this voiceover, dedicated to General Smedley D. Butler, and shout-outs to Ellen Bello, Babs Betzella, and Jeremy Scale. Enjoy the rest of this podcast. Oh, and have I told you lately that Adam Curry really sucks raw eggs? Yeah, his plug for the Senseo machine is really stupid, too. The result after you wash burning hot water through those pods in a Senseo machine is something that tastes like, instant coffee. Yeah, Nescafe, but that's actually a disservice to the reputation of Nescafe as well. Hey, Adam Curry, your corporate plugs are misguided at best. Nice hair, though. And don't forget to get it all at www.odeo.com. Don't hate the media. FSCK, the corporate media. Oh, P.S. One last URL of sorts. If you go to Google or the search engine of your choice, search once again for mp3.com. All one word, mp3.com. Talk to you later.
Welcome to Media Minutes, a weekly review of news relating to the intersection of media and democracy. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm Kimberly Cronick.
This is an historic moment for the committee. We're about to break with the entire history of the internet. Everyone should understand that.
the Commerce Committee of the House of Representatives did not take Congressman Ed Markey's warning seriously. On April 26th, the committee voted to approve the woefully misnamed Communications Opportunity Promotion and Enhancement Act, which stands to transform the Internet from the vibrant, open, democratic forum for communication that it is today into a virtually privatized network where access to online content and services will be controlled by the nation's largest phone and cable companies. Congressman Markey of Massachusetts attempted to amend the bill by adding a provision that would guarantee the principle of network neutrality.
Should there be an ability on the part of AT&T, on the ability of Verizon or Bell South, to discriminate against hundreds or thousands of smaller companies, smaller individuals? The answer is they will be allowed to after this bill passes. So why are they all showing up now as if they should own it? Because they think they can.
Unfortunately, the amendment was narrowly voted down, and the COPE Act now heads to the House floor for a final vote. But the fight to preserve Internet freedom is not over. The Save the Internet Coalition, which was launched less than 2 weeks ago, has already attracted an impressive and still growing array of members, ranging from the American Library Association to the Parents Television Council. Coalition partner Craig Fields, representing the 300,000-member Gun Owners of America, says keeping the Internet open to everyone transcends political boundaries.
In a very, very strange situation, what we have is the necessity of government intervention to ensure a free marketplace of ideas. Whenever you see people on the far left and the far right joining together about something Congress is getting ready to do, it's been my experience that what Congress is getting ready to do is basically un-American.
Since the Save the Internet Coalition was launched, more than 250,000 people have signed its petition urging Congress to guarantee freedom of speech online. This first skirmish did not go the people's way, but it's just one in a series that's expected to take place on Capitol Hill over the course of this spring. You can find out more information about the campaign to preserve Internet freedom online at savetheinternet.com.
Although legislation to strangle Internet freedom is likely to pass the House, it's not likely to happen without a fight. The day before the Commerce Committee marked up the COPE Act, the House Judiciary Committee's Task Force on Telecom and Antitrust held its own hearing on network neutrality. It's looking at the issue from an antitrust perspective, given that the phone and cable companies have an effective duopoly over the provision of broadband access in America. Columbia Law Professor Timothy Wu says the nation's communications infrastructure faced a similar crisis nearly 150 years ago.
In the 1860s, the telegraph companies, which were also a monopoly, Western Union, signed an exclusive deal with Associated Press that only allowed Associated Press to be carried over the wires. They didn't actually block other companies, they just discriminated against other companies. That, in turn, led to a news monopoly in the late 19th century, which was a threat not only to American business and competition, but a threat to American democracy.
The large phone and cable companies repeated their mantra that they will not, quote, block, impair, or degrade access to online content. But Paul Meisner, Vice President of Global Public Policy for Amazon.com, calls that claim a bald-faced lie.
If that's the case, who on earth would pay for prioritization that doesn't thereby relatively degrade the competitor's content? The fact of the matter is, the way the Internet works is that if you prioritize some content, you get put some content in the fast lane, you by definition, at bottleneck choke points, put other content in the slow lane.
Ultimately, Professor Wu warned the Judiciary Committee that the loss of network neutrality will smother the innovative nature of the Internet, which has made it such a powerful economic and social engine.
It's no longer survival of the fittest. It's no longer who has the best technology. It's a question of who goes golfing with the CEO of AT&T. And I think that's not the American way. I mean, sometimes it is, but it shouldn't be the American way.
The COPE Act is expected to come up for a full vote on the House floor sometime in May. The timetable for similar legislation in the Senate is less certain.
You've been listening to Media Minutes, a joint production of the Illinois Initiative for Media Policy Research at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign and Free Press, a national nonpartisan organization dedicated to media democracy. For more information, visit our website, freepress.com.
Tapper. Flynn! I want him held. I want justice. Dead or alive. Flynn! Flynn! To the homes and aids and protects terrorists. Flynn! Including members of Al-Qaeda. Flynn! I know I didn't say, but there was a direct connection between September the 11th Flynn! And Saddam Hussein. War is my last choice. We're gonna smoke them out. Bring them on. You think Patriot Act, constitutional guarantees are in place? A wiretap requires a court order. Saddam Hussein's got weapons of mass destruction. Although we have not found stockpiles of weapons of mass destruction, and it is true that much of the intelligence turned out to be wrong.
Dickie Richards, former child actor. I have disturbing news which affects all of my loyal fans. The Child Actor Hall of Fame Committee, chaired by Danny Bonaducci, has rejected my application to be included in the Child Actor Hall of Fame. Danny Bonaducci is going to have to pay for dishonoring my good name, and punitive action will be carried out against Danny Bonaducci with the severest of prejudice. My attorney has advised me to be very careful about my wording. Accordingly, I am not telling my loyal fans to wage a terrorist campaign against Danny Bonaducci. However, if you happen to have a shopping bag filled with your dog's shit and happen to be walking past Danny Bonaducci's house at 1414 Berkshire Drive in Beverly Hills, your bag of dog shit might accidentally fly out of your hands and end up spreading shit all over Danny Bonaducci's property. It could happen. You never know. Furthermore, if you happen to find some roadkill and place it in a nice, warm, enclosed area for about 3 weeks so that the bacteria inside of the rotting carcass could incubate and potentially cause a deadly disease, and you then happen to be walking past Danny Bonaducci's house with the rotting disease carcass and have an involuntary muscle spasm which causes you to fling the rotting carcass through Danny Bonaducci's fucking window, then, well, you know, accidents happen. I would like to thank all of my loyal fans for supporting me and want them to know that if they provide me with digital or videotape footage of themselves accidentally flinging either dog shit or a rotting disease carcass onto Danny Bonaducci's property, they are eligible to receive a signed 8x10 photo of me, Dickie Richards, for only $8.95. This is less than half off its regular price. Thank you, and Godspeed.
I'm no kin to the monkey, no, no, no. The monkey's no kin to me, yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't don't know much about his ancestors, but mine didn't swing from a tree. It seems so unbelievable, and yet they're saying it's true. They're teaching us about it in school now, that humans were monkeys once too. Whoa, I'm no kin to the monkey, no, no, no. The monkey's no kin to me, yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't know much about his ancestors, but mine didn't swing from a tree. Although it's so ridiculous, they're teaching us now that it's true. The teachers that came from a monkey would be better off in a zoo. Whoa, I'm no kin to the monkey, no, no, no. The monkey's no kin to me, yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't know much about his ancestors, but mine didn't swing from a tree. It seems so much more believable, and surely, surely it's true. The God made man in his image, no monkey story will do. Whoa, I'm no kin to the monkey, no, no, no. The monkey's no kin to me, yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't know much about his ancestors, but mine didn't swing from a tree. This monkey business has to go, because it just isn't true. It's such a disgrace to the monkey, a disgrace to the human race too. Whoa, I'm no kin to the monkey, no, no, no. The monkey's no kin to me, yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't know much about his ancestors, but mine didn't swing from a tree. Mine didn't swing from a tree. Mine didn't swing from a tree.
Inside, looked around, checked my order to be sure. He said, now son, I got you down for Road Trip Mega Channels Go. It's a one-time only offer from the corp who'll save your soul. We got all your local networks, sports and movies by the ton. I hooked you up with CBN to keep old safe on the run. An endless cast of dive launch shells from entertainment news, and exclusive discount prices on Salvation pay-per-views. Will bring you all the dreams you'll ever need, and for an extra couple bucks I'll make your internet high speed. Go on, add that to the bill, my lord. Let's get this wide web flying. I'm bored with being uninformed, perhaps from lack of trying. Well, there's nothing wrong with getting fed your breaking scoop report, or having all my info even from one divine source. This time it stood remote controls, your new messiah now. And you'll find yourself the answers in this book that shows you how. But if you're lost or can't pick up our signal crystal clear, just ring one of our angel bells, they'll always be right here. In case there's any doubt, but I had to get a job myself once heaven got bought out.
Ever hear of Neil Cassidy, the Beat Generation legend, best friends with Jack Kerouac? On the Road was Jack's book, and Cassidy was the character named Dean Moriarty, the man who bridged time between the Beats, the Pranksters, and the psychedelic revolutionaries. The drug agents weren't impressed. They called him Johnny Potseed, and he did 2 years for two joints. And when he got out, he drove to Kesey's house on Perry Lane, across the street from the Stanford Golf Course. The rear end went out of his Jeep station wagon, and he spent all weekend repairing it, while the neighborhood croquet game went on around him, and he enlightened them with mystifying quips. We're fourth dimensional beings, inhabiting a third dimensional body, living in a two-dimensional world, black and white, good and evil with a touch of gray. How embarrassing, said Popeye the Sailor Man. But that's what I get for smoking my socks. A real no high, and that is the pox. I do not like them Sam what am. I do not like that Spanish and ham. What I like is me spinach, not yam, and that's why I am what I am. Cassidy said, I can't imagine going anywhere without a destination. Kesey said, your destination is already made. And Cassidy said, I'm feeling better, doctor. You don't want to put your mouth on it, is what Hemingway told his boys. Double-barreled, earnest advice. Sometimes the load gets heavy. Other times it is a feather blowing in the happy wind. Look, here we are. Laughing and giggling and peeing all over ourselves, or as Cassidy once said, no one was ever happy, angry. Who is J.B.? He is Kesey, the chief, the head of the Pranksters. And that's why Cassidy called him J.B. It is beyond me.
Jeffrey Luer's lawyer, Lauren Regan, travels around the Northwest giving civil rights seminars in leftist coffee shops. She says the government's political motives are perfectly clear when you compare the sentences for different kinds of arson.
There was a woman, a U.S. Forest Service employee, who was charged and admitted responsibility for 35 arsons, and her reason for committing 35 arsons was for overtime pay. She got probation.
The Chevy dealer whose SUVs were burned, Steve Romania, says he has no problem with the government's treatment of these property crimes as terrorism.
They're still terrorizing people, and the potential for injury is still there.
But even he seems to have qualms about the penalties. When asked whether he thinks Jeffrey Luers deserves 22 years for burning three cars, Romania pauses, then says he'd rather not say. The government says Eugene was the arsonist's home base. This laid-back college town is still home to more than its share of woolly environmental activists, Here in the offices of the Native Forest Council, three of them take a break from the computers and the copy machine for a little lunchtime jam session.
Your call and your business are very important to us, so please hold the line and we'll be right with you.
Please continue to hold, and we'll be with you in just a moment.
Please continue to hold. Assistance is just ahead. Your call and your business are very important to us, so please hold the line.
Please continue to hold. Please continue to hold. Please continue to hold. And we'll be with you in just a moment.
Your call and your business are very important to us, so please hold the line. Your call and your business are very important to us, so please hold the line. Please hold the line. Please hold the line. Hold the line. Hold the line. Hold.
Just a moment. Just a moment. Just a moment. Just a...
Hold the line, hold the line, hold the line, and we'll be right with you. Your call and your business are very important to us, so please hold, very important
to us. The major record labels say that downloading their music from the internet is stealing. But according to these people, making a mixtape for your friend is stealing too. So is making a tape of a radio show. When a rock band plays an AC/DC cover at a bar that doesn't pay ASCAP, that's stealing. When an MC rhymes over a sampled beat, that's stealing. Have you ever sung happy birthday to your friend at a restaurant? Watch out, happy birthday is copyrighted, so if you're singing in a public place, you'd better be paying royalties, or you'll be stealing music. Does all this stuff about stealing music sound absurd? Would you rather have a world where our music culture wasn't the intellectual property of five corporations? And stop giving them your money. Don't pay for major label music, and make sure your friends and family don't either. Even better, burn them CDs of the music they like, so they won't even want to buy it. If we pull the plug on the major labels, music gets better. To find out more about what you can do, check out downhillbattle.org.